دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔ دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔ آپ چاہے ہمیں یہ کرم آپ کا، آپ چاہے ہمیں یہ کرم آپ کا، ورنہ ہم چاہنے کے تو قابل نہیں۔ آپ چاہے ہمیں یہ کرم آپ کا، ورنہ ہم چاہنے کے تو قابل نہیں۔ دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔ آپ کا ہوں میں بس اور کسی کا نہیں، آپ کا ہوں میں بس اور کسی کا نہیں، کوئی لیلا نہیں کوئی محمل نہیں۔ آپ کا ہوں میں بس اور کسی کا نہیں، کوئی لیلا نہیں کوئی محمل نہیں۔ دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔ کہہ رہا ہے یہ اختر ببانگے دوہل، کہہ رہا ہے یہ اختر ببانگے دوہل، بحر الفت کا کوئی بھی ساحل نہیں۔ کہہ رہا ہے یہ اختر ببانگے دوہل، بحر الفت کا کوئی بھی ساحل نہیں۔ دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔ صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو، صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو، اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں۔ صحبت اہل دل جس نے پائی نہ ہو، اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں۔ دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں، آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد۔ Inshallah, we'll just do a brief translation of this poem, very beautiful poem, full poem of Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Request dua for Hazrat, not feeling well now before Isha Salah. Inshallah, we should all make dua, and this will be actually our duty and our responsibility, that like how our elders say, that to make dua for one's parents is compulsory 5 times a day. They say, in the ayat of Rabbi Rahmuma Kama Rabbayani Saghira, in Jalalini, in the Hasha, they have mentioned there, some of the elders have mentioned that the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 5 times a day, 5 Farad Salah. So they say the minimum right of one's parents is to make dua for them at least 5 times a day. So at least 5 times a day a person must make dua for his parents, whether they're living or they've passed away. And such a beautiful dua, Rabbi Rahmuma Kama Rabbayani Saghira, because when you make dua for rahmat and mercy of Allah ta'ala, so rahmat will refer to in this world also, at the time of death also, in the qabr also, on the day of qiyamah also, in jannat also. So
So it's a very, very charming, comprehensive dua, very beautiful dua. And all the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran Sharif also, in the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find very, very comprehensive. What and what meanings. So this dua we should make for our parents. So Hazrat Daniel rahmatullahi alayhi writes in Bayan al-Quran, Nashia, that in Masail al-Suluk, that this is also the condition for one's spiritual parents, for one's mashayikh, asatidah, etc. It's a duty and responsibility to daily make dua, whether they're living, they're passed away also. We should continue to see it's our duty and responsibility to make dua for them. May Allah give myself and all of us a tawfiq. So anyhow, in this poem, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that, دو جہاں کا مزا اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں. That a person has not got the enjoyment of both the worlds, this world also and akhirat also, that person who does not have in his heart the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that there are different parts of the body of a person. The person has got different senses and each one of them has got a function. For example, the eye, the function of the eye is to see. The eye can't hear, the eye sees. The function of the ear is to hear. So it hears. This is the function of the ear. The brain has got a different function, to think and to ponder. The tongue has got a different function, to taste. And they can only work for their function. What Allah has created them for, they will use for that. And when a person doesn't use them for that function, then eventually a person starts losing that ability and capability. For example, you get many, many children who are young, who are small, when they grow up as babies, they have a lazy eye. So the lazy eye, they don't use that eye. So eventually, if you don't treat that eye, it gets lazier, lazier, lazier. Eventually, the child can't see. He loves with one eye. He's looking from one eye. And that eye becomes completely like useless. But if you go and you start making effort, you go to the doctors and they give you certain glasses and your person wears it. And then and effort is made on it. It starts working. And eventually, it comes back to life. It starts working. A person can start seeing with it. So any part of the body, if a person leaves it, it starts getting weaker and weaker. And whichever part your person is using becomes stronger and stronger. This is why Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, he said our mind also, our memories, we don't use them. So they are becoming weaker and weaker. And those who are using their memories, he said like how, he said this is one very great bounty Allah has given us, but unfortunately we don't take advantage of it. We don't use it. So when we don't use it, it becomes weaker and weaker. And eventually it becomes, the person says, I can't remember anything, because we are not using it. But a person who memorizes, like a person who becomes Hafiz of Quran, he uses memory a lot. So for him to memorize later on, it becomes very easy also. So Allah gave us tawfiq that we utilize these abilities. So Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi said, he said the function of the heart is to love. The function of the heart is to love. So the heart has to love. But it's just now in which direction a person wants to love. You can love everything of this world, or you can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person unfortunately puts his heart in dead things, his heart will eventually become dead. But a person who connects his heart to Hayyun, the one who is living forever and forever, his heart will become alive. They have mentioned this example many times. If a person takes a vacuum cleaner, for example, he brings it in the masjid, and he plugs it into the wall, the socket of the in the plug, but there is no electricity coming through, it's completely dead. And he puts it on, the vacuum machine won't work at all. But the same vacuum machine, if it's plugged into a socket in which power is coming through, then immediately it will come to life. So that heart which is connected to something which is dead, which is human beings, which is woman, which is cars, which is houses, which is all the beautiful things of this world. Your heart is connected to something which is dead. So obviously you will die. Spiritually a person will die. But if he connects his heart to that being who will never ever die, Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever and forever, remain forever and forever. Then automatically he will become alive. Now life will come into that person. Now that person will start enjoying life also firstly. Even till an old age he will reach. He will not reach that level of وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. When a person reaches an old age, immediately his mind starts going ever down. Eventually become senile. But those Buzrugan Deen, those who read Quran Sharif throughout their life, because the Quran Sharif is something which is living, it's a kalam of Allah, a sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find their minds are fresh. That is why when they reach old age also, we saw as Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, Azimun Shaki, Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, many of our other elders, they came to South Africa and that maybe their memories became slightly weak at the end of their life, but they were still in their full senses. They saw, I remember Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, just before he passed away, he came to madrasa. They were asking him all questions and masail. And he was still joking and he was giving some answers and how Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to answer his questions. So his mind was still fresh at that ripe old age of maybe in his late 80s or 90s or whatever. Hazrat Shahaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So they used their minds and they put their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah ta'ala kept them alive. And their remembrance is alive in the world now. And what the enjoyment they must be getting in the qabr. So an intelligent person is he who attaches his heart to something which is alive. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he say, as it says in his poem, that a person will not get the enjoyments of both the worlds. That person who has not got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though he's a Muslim, he's got Iman, he's got Islam, he's got Salat, he's got Tilawat of Quran. He's a Zahid, very, very great worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he loved this world, he'll get Jannat, highest levels of Jannat. But he did not get that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a world of difference. As our Hazrat has mentioned many, many times, husband and wife are living together. They are fulfilling the rights of one another. And he's doing everything for his wife. But there is no love in that marriage. He comes, he says, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? He does his work, she does her work. But there's no that feeling of love, of attachment, thinking of one another, etc. You're fulfilling your rights. Like I pay the money for the water, the lights, the food. So I fulfill my duties. But that's on one side. He won't get any guna, inshallah. He'll get children also. He'll live a life. Eventually he'll pass away. But another person who's got love for his wife. There's that feeling, that attraction, that whenever a person goes, he sees his wife, he gets so happy, he gets excited. She gets happy to see her husband. If there's separation, there's feeling in the heart, there's pain, crying for one another, there's pain, there's love. So that marriage is completely different. So imagine our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability that not that we love a relationship of zabta, just that we are fulfilling the commands of Allah, we are reading our salah, but no, to build up the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person will get the true enjoyment of the world. Then we will understand how Buzruk say, as one person said recently, says, I never understood how the Buzruks in the past used to stand the whole night in Tahajjud Salat. See, until the cell phones came out. Then I saw people sitting on the cell phones the whole night and they couldn't sleep. Then I realized how the Buzruks of the past, they managed to stay awake the whole night in Ibadat. Because so much of enjoyment these people are getting in the cell phones. So how they staying awake the whole night? Or a person loves soccer or cricket, the whole night will stay awake. And the next day will go to work also. So our Buzruks, they Ibadat, they enjoy it. That one Sahabi who comes home after so many months and he starts his namaz, his salat. And then the whole night his wife is waiting for him. And he writes till Fajr Salah, he reads his namaz. And then the wife, she asked him, I was here, I was waiting for you. He says, I know, but I got such enjoyment in my salah that I didn't get time to think of you. May Allah give us tawfiq and ability. We should at least have the desire within our heart. That Allah must give us that feeling that of that one of our elders, one of our buzruks. He made a lot of dua one day. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to read a salah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What was the condition of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? One of Shawliullah rahmatullahi, most likely one of his sons. One of our great elders from before Malana Qasim al-Nawawi rahmatullahi. So maybe that's most likely one of Shaykh Ismail Shahitab rahmatullahi, somebody of that at that time. So he made this dua, he made a lot of dua. So he says one day suddenly his eyes opened up and a strange feeling overcame him. He went to bed, he started performing wudu, and while he's performing wudu there was so much of fear in his heart. And he's crying as he's performing wudu, and there's a different feeling in him that my wudu is not complete, and he's like crying. And then he stood up, he said, read two rakats of salah, long khushu and khudu and concentration and devotion, and I finished the two rakats of salah, and how much I was crying and tearing. And the minute I made salam, I said, Ya Allah, this namaz is completely defective, he's useless, he can never ever stand up in your sight. So I limited another two rakats to make the salah better. I started performing salah, and I read. I finished another two rakats, then I stood up another two rakats. There was such enjoyment in there, and how I felt that my namaz is so weak, so useless. I read another two rakats, and two rakats, and two rakats. And he says, suddenly I heard then the azan for Fajr Salah going. SubhanAllah. Then I came out of that condition. Then I'm thinking to myself, maybe this was how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had performed their Salah. That condition, that kafiyat, which was in them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people. So Hazrat says here that person who has got the enjoyment of two worlds, and this person who has got the love of Allah ta'ala in his heart, he will have the enjoyment of both the worlds. Hazrat says after that we are not worthy of. If Allah Ta'ala wants us, Allah is pulling us, Allah is calling us to the majlis, Allah is calling us just to think about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only the karam and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we are not even worthy of Allah Ta'ala desiring us, Allah Ta'ala pulling us towards Him. We are definitely, Allah is kareem. Kareem alladhi yu'ati biduni istihqaqin. Is that being who grants a person without being worthy in the least, but we are completely useless. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, as a Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi once, he went to the door of his sister, he was by his sister's house. So he came to the door and he stood there after Isha Salah. And he wanted to walk out, and the whole night he continued standing there. And then Fajr time, his sister asked him, it's Fajr time for Fajr. Like, what happened to you? Why are you standing so shocked? Like, he said, I'm thinking to myself that in our city there are three people with the name of Bishr. But Allah has only given me Iman. So what did I do to deserve that Iman? This is only Allah's favor upon me. I'm not worthy of this. So may Allah give us that understanding that whatever bounties we have performed, salah, this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm definitely not worthy of it. I've got iman also. It's only Allah's grace. So, oh Allah ta'ala, because you are calling us, this is only your karam and your kindness. Otherwise, we are not worthy of anything at all. The person must always have this in his heart and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah's bounties. The person must not become despondent on one hand. On the other hand, a person must always have tawazu and humility. He does not know when Allah ta'ala can snatch that bounty away from him and a person can be left without anything. Oh Allah, I'm only yours. I don't want to be anybody else's. I'm not any woman's also, any mahmil, any carriage, any cars. I don't want to be anybody else's connected to anything else. My connection must be only with you, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if whatever a person's heart is connected to, then a person, inshallah, he will leave the world with that day. Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahmatullah alayh, one buzruk said, I got two sheikhs. He said, one sheikh is a parrot. And the other sheikh was a policeman. He said, how is that your sheikh? He said, I learned great lessons from them. He said, the lesson I learned from the parrot was, that one day the parrot, one man was teaching in nazams. So the parrot knew a lot of nazams. So one day the cage was left open. And one cat came there. And the cat was about to catch the parrot. So the parrot forgot all his nazams and his kalimas and everything. But at that time what was inside the heart of the parrot, this came out of the parrot's mouth. So he says, this is the lesson I learned from the parrot. This is my sheikh. The lesson he taught me is that whatever is in the heart of a person at the time of death will come out. So if a person has got Allah in his heart at the time of death, Allah will come out. And if a person has got Ghairullah in the heart, those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will come out at the time of death. So may Allah protect and save us. So a person must make sure what is in the heart of a person, of Husila Maf is Sudur, what is in the heart of a person will come out. So, and the second lesson, as Gangohi Rahmatullah said, this person says, I learned from a policeman. The policeman, every morning he wakes up early in the morning and he dresses up and he makes himself smart and firm, and he knows by 8 o'clock I have to be in my work, and I have to work till 1 o'clock. I'm on duty now. And at 2 o'clock again I will start working till 5 o'clock. I have to be exactly on time, and I've got certain rules. I have to follow the day. If I don't do this, I will be fired. So he says, I learned this lesson from a policeman, that we have to understand that we are workers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how that policeman is so particular, I must be there on time, I must fulfill all my duties and responsibilities. Similarly, we also have to fulfill our duties and responsibilities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must be particular with our whatever actions we are doing. So this is the lessons which I have learned. So Hazrat says in this form, that Allah, I'm only yours, not anybody else's. I don't want to be any laylas, any other women, or any mahmil, any cars. That they must not be in my heart. But in my heart must only be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says here, with the top of his voice he's shouting out, and he's saying that in the ocean of love, that there is no shore, the ocean of love. That love is such a huge and vast thing, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of makhluk and creation eventually comes to an end. Because no matter who you love, example, you fell in love with a woman, but eventually she grows old. And now the love which you had for her eventually comes to an end. Or sometimes she passes away. Now you have so much of love for her, but you attach your heart to the wrong thing, to the sand. So imagine now your beloved has passed away, she has died. So now a person eventually goes mad. And how many people have landed up in the mad hospitals because of the love of women? So Hazrat says, but however, in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no shore. The more you will come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your love will increase. The person that he knows, any woman, before he gets married, he knows about his wife. Somebody tells him, Allah only prays, but praise. So he knows he's got like on top of the world. Very, very high idea he's got of her. And now, Buduruz have mentioned an ajeeb thing also. They say that why doesn't love marriages work? And why does arranged marriages work? Many people say, I've got a girlfriend, boyfriend. You have to go out for 6 months. You know, have to know one another. Then only it'll work. So they say that one is, Allah Ta'ala doesn't put barakat. When it's done in haram, when you're starting your foundation with haram, there's no barakat and blessings in there. So you're starting on something which is very weak. Obviously, the building will eventually collapse. But the other logical example, explanation they give is, when a person is going out with a girl, so he's only going to see the good things of her. She'll be dressed up in the best. She'll have good akhlaq in character. All the bad akhlaq, she'll hide it for the house. She's not going to show it now. And the boy also, he'll be giving flowers, he'll be giving sweets, chocolates, all of these things. So she'll only see the good of him. Now, the minute they get married, you're starting off from 100% and you're coming down to 40%. And it's obviously now you think, I had so much of love for her, now I'm finding she got this fault, that fault, this weakness. There'll never be love in that marriage. So it'll lead to fights, eventually divorce. But a person who starts off on an arranged marriage, he knows nothing about that woman. So what he's getting now is like actually like Jannat for him. So he's starting off from zero. So even if he's coming to 40, 50, he's starting off from nothing, but he's coming to something. So obviously that marriage is going to stay now. There'll be love, muhabbat, and goodness in that marriage. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world. So anyhow, this is, I'm saying that any love in this world, it has got an end, it's got a limit. There are weaknesses. Every human being has got weaknesses. Whatever buildings you build, it's got weaknesses. It's going to break eventually. It come to an end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. The more you come to know Allah, Allah's qudrat, Allah's power, Allah's greatness, Allah's mercy, it just increases and increases and increases. There is no ocean, shore to that ocean. Only a person's love for Allah ta'ala will increase and increase. There is no level where a person will reach and will say, but now till where can I go? No, it carries on and on and on. A person's love for Allah ta'ala only increases. May Allah make us amongst those people. Hazrat eventually says that a person who has not got the sohbat of the Ahl al-Dil, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his heart is not actually a heart. His love is not actually any love. His sorrows and grief also is not any grief. A person must stay in the company of the Ahlullah. One very, very easy way of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the staying in the sohbat of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will stay in the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah the love of Allah ta'ala will automatically rub off. You see, whatever is in the heart of a person by sitting in his company with the right intention, you sit in with the intention, I want to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it rubs off on the heart. The person will eventually, that love of Allah ta'ala will automatically transfer from heart to heart. This love of Allah ta'ala cannot be acquired from kitab. You can read all the books of the world, but the books are dead. They are not living. So it's, the love of Allah ta'ala cannot be passed over. But from a loving person, and that is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu got the greatest amount, because they had the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That 1 few seconds also they stayed in his company. But those who stayed longer in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they got much, much more benefit. So we also have to stay in the company of our mashayikh, our elders, and sit in their company with the intention, I want to get what is in their heart. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to draw it and put it into my heart. And a person comes with the right intention, Allah ta'ala looks at the intention of a person, and according to the intention of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq, inshaAllah.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa'u salamun ala ibadi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'd, faqad qala Allah ta'ala fi al-Quran al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa tazawwadu fa inna khayra al-zadi al-taqwa. Wa attaquni ya uli al-albab. Sadaqallahu al-aliyu al-azim. Firstly, it just came to mind also, today we lost two great awliya and very great pious personalities, ulama-i kiram. One has a Sheikh Yunus Saab, rahmatullahi, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, a time will come when knowledge will be lifted from the world. One sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, how is that going to happen? That we are teaching our children, they will teach their children. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I taught you intelligent. The Jews also, they taught their children. But how much of their religion remained behind? How much did they follow in the footsteps of their forefathers? What it means here that Allah Ta'ala will raise the men of knowledge. And when the men of knowledge go, then we will be losing knowledge from this world. That is why it is mentioned, Mawtul Alim, Mawtul Alam. One Alim passes away, it's like the whole world has passed away. And from this we learn how important is it to hold firm onto the lifestyle of our great pious elders and ulama-i kiram who did all the groundwork for us. They have given us all the great jewels of knowledge on a golden tray. We have to appreciate this and appreciate our ulama that are in our midst. As Hazrat Maulana Mustafa Sahib Dawood Barakatuhum explained, that daily we should be making dua for our ulama, particularly our sheikh, our asatizah-i kiram, and all the ulama-i kiram. We should be making dua for them. And the ulama-i kiram, they are like the beautiful stars on the earth. So we should appreciate, and when these people leave the world, then we should be worried. And the least we can do, send isale sawab for them. So we should send sawab. Let us read 3 times, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Also another great alim of Medina Sharif, Mona Ismail Badat Sahib, Damat Rahmatullah Alayna. Every day it is mentioned, minimum used to make 1 Quran Sharif khatam in the Haram Sharif. How fortunate are these people. And they loved their lives and they proved what they... And in this time and age they could do it. If we just get an encouragement, just an inkling, as well, Allah also want that type of desire. So just to have that desire, inshallah, as Allahu Akbar, the great pious personality, they were great. And with all their greatness, they regarded as themselves as nothing. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, what a personality. Yet he says, "Uhibbu salihin wa lastu minhum." That I just love the pious servants of Allah. Where can I be with them? They are of what a caliber. A man of that caliber, and he's saying that, then a useless, foolish person like myself, where can we ever dream? But, like one Sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in great eagerness, and he said, "O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in this world we desire to sit in your company. We come to Masjid Nabawi Sharif sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we find you there. We enjoy your sohbat, your company. We feel so nice. But when we leave the world, akhirat is a different condition. Where your position is going to be, where we are going to be, your position is of such a high caliber in Jannat. Where will we ever have that enjoyment of being in your company?" He says the answer Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, that was the most greatest, the minute of enjoyment of my life. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." That a person in Jannat also, who you love, that is who you are. Allah Ta'ala will raise you on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will give you that company in Jannat on the day of Qiyamah. Even you might be not on that level, but Allah Ta'ala in His kindness will allow you to have that company in Jannat also. So we should just be loving the pious servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And one is we say we love, but the true love is that Al-Muhibbu Lima Yuhibbu Muti'un. Whoever you love, you don't love. You don't have to tell, you see young children today, and forget young children. Today our Shaykh says so beautifully, "Tum bachpan ho gaya, abhi bachpana nahi." You 55, 60, you still like a small child. You still want to follow the sports. You still want to know about this cricket star and that star, which are, you can't, the word stars is a disgrace. You're disgracing the word stars when you put it in connection with such people. Stars were those people who our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ashabi kan nujum." Those my Sahaba, they were stars. Follow them and see whoever followed in the lifestyle of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, where they reach we can't imagine. So we should realize that if we love somebody, then automatically you'll be imitating that person. You'll be trying to follow that person. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and understanding to realize that who our real guides are. Especially in this time and age that we are going through, all the fitna are pouring on the one side. Great, great personalities are leaving on the other side. So we should be very, very careful and be firm on the lifestyle of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us read three times Qul Allahu Ahad and pass the sawabs to our pious elders and whole ummah, inshallah. Qul Allahu Ahad. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Make this our daily practice. After every namaz, try and read three times Qul Huwallahu Ahad and pass the sawabs to all from Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all the Anbiya, the whole Ummat, and even those that are loving also. Allah Ta'ala, in return, you have sent, while you read one time Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times, one Quran Sharif sawab, but to how much people you send, so much Quran Sharif sawab you will get in return. Allah. That is how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And how easy our deen is and how beautiful our deen is. But this we'll only realize and learn from the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From these beautiful majalis. Otherwise we'll be just passing our life. And we don't have to pass our life. Zindagi guzarna nahi, zindagi banana hai. We don't have to pass our life. Is passing inevitable. It's passing away in any case. Ho rahi hai umar misle baraf kam, chupke chupke rafta rafta dam badam. That our life is passing away and melting away like a block of ice. If we don't realize, especially in the Indo-Pak continent, there they sell big blocks of ice. And early in the morning they go out 3-4 o'clock in the morning. If a person says it's still early, sun still didn't rise, let me rest under this tree and he puts his block of ice one side and he takes a snooze for 1-2 hours. By the time he gets up, although the sun is still not bright, but already he's lost 10-20% of his profits already. So exactly the same. If I think I'm still young, I got time to play, I'll still enjoy my life. When I get little big, then I'll go study, then I'll do this, then the summa takes you nowhere. It doesn't take you anywhere and our life will just be passing away. And if you go and see in the Kabristan in the last few years, go and look at the ages of people, all below 40. So there's no such a thing that I'm still young. We have to, Allahu Akbar. Malik ibn Dinar, rahmatullahi, on one occasion, was going with few of his disciples, and they were passing one village. It was time for Asr Salah, whatever Salah it was. Now they had to make wuzu. They stopped by one well. And when they stopped by that well, there was water in that well, but there was no bucket, and there was no rope to pull up anything. So he was standing parishan there. There was a young, small girl on the other side looking. She came running. She said, "Uncle, what's wrong?" Say, "Now we want to make wuzu. How are you going to help us?" Say, "Don't worry." So she spat in the well. When she spat in the well, like a fountain, it came up. They made wuzu. They read their namaz. After that, he called her. He said, "What amal you doing?" Say, "Well, I don't do any amal." She said, "What amal you doing that Allah put so much effect just in your spat?" She says, "My mother doesn't let me sleep every night till I don't read 1,000 times Durood Sharif." And that's very simple also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like Hazrat has taught us, to talk is very easy, to listen is more easy. But myself, let me just think today, another day pass in my life, how many Durood did I read today? Forget 1,000, did I read even 10 times Durood upon our beloved Nabi Kareem's house? So that was one. The other point that actually came to my mind, that we got no time to play. So she was sitting one side. So he asked her that, "Well, why don't you play with the other children? They're also playing." So he thought he'll give her some money to buy some toys or whatever. She says, "No, I don't need this." She said, "Then why don't you play with the other children?" So he said, "Did Allah send us in the world to play?" He was surprised. The young girl, he says, "But you are still a child. You can play. It's nothing wrong." She says, "No, I'm scared." Say, "What you are scared for?" Say, "I see when my mother makes fire at night, then she first breaks the small planks, then she put small planks and she lights the fire. When the small planks are burning, then she puts big logs and then the fire starts. So I'm also worried, I'm going to waste my time in playing. Allah Ta'ala mustn't light the fire of Jannah with small people like me first." Well, that was of their caliber, however. It doesn't mean that their children are not allowed to play. But that's also very important, that when our children are playing also, we have to monitor what games they are playing. Today, children are not playing what we call clean fun. What they are involved in is all this indoctrination, all the stupid games that we give them, and we're happy. You know, I bought for my child a PlayStation, or I'm giving them a game to play, or they're sitting in front of watching comedy, or etc. Allah Ta'ala save us and make open our minds. And make us realize that this life Allah has given us is very, very valuable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "For this we have sent you here, and for your life, we have sent you here to prepare for your real life." This is a passing phase, you're on your journey. And when a person is going on his journey, any person, you ask him, "Where are you traveling tomorrow?" "Gee, first thing, you got your passport, you got your ticket, your bags are packed, everything." If he says, "No, I'll do it. I'm leaving 2 o'clock in the morning, about 1:45, I'll do it. 1:55. People will say, "You mad or something." So exactly the same, myself, all of us, we should ponder and think. We know the famous story of Harun al-Rashid, very pious, great king. And the kings of those days were very wealthy, but very pious also. Harun al-Rashid, rahmatullahi, is mentioned with regard to him, according to some narration, that daily he should read 300 rakats nafal namaz. Forget all his farais and sunnah, wajibat, nafal namaz, 300 rakats. So anyway, in that time there was a person who was known as a madzub, Bahlul. Bahlul was like a mad person, but yes, he was really madly in love with Allah. And just engaged from this world, he didn't even worry where he sleeps. At night he's engaged so much in ibadat, he didn't really need a house. In the morning he feels a little tired on the pavement somewhere, he takes a rest. and he carries on his work. And but the king knew that this is a pious man. So Bahlul was allowed to come to visit the king whenever he wanted. So he used to go and visit the king. One day he heard that the king was not well. So he went to visit the king. And he says, "King, you're not looking too well. Looks like you're on your Shatri Rahil. You're on your way out now." Then he says, "Looks like that. Oh, Bahlul, make dua." Then Bahlul asked him, "That Bacha Salamat, that in your days when you were healthy, hale, that now used to prepare for any safar, any journey?" He says, "Yes, we used to go hunting journeys, we used to prepare." Says, "How long used to prepare?" Say, "Hunting journeys, if we go 2-3 months, all the manasas must get ready. They have to get the dogs ready for hunting, etc. All that arrangements has to be made. So we used to prepare, big preparation for that." So he says that, "Now you're on your journey, where are you going?" He says, I haven't prepared for that. Before that, in fact, Harun al-Rashid had one white small stick, and he gave it to Bahlul, and he said, "Bahlul, I didn't see a more stupid person than you. If you find somebody more stupid, then you must give that stick to him." So Bahlul didn't take any objection. He kept it. And now when he came to visit the king at this occasion, then he asked the king that, "Now you are on your way to your real eternal journey. Did you prepare?" Although 300 rakats, nafal namaz daily, etc., they were. But yet he admitted, "No, I didn't make any preparation." Then Bahlul took out that stick and he said, "I didn't see a more stupid person than you. That you on such a great journey and you haven't prepared. You prepare for your journeys of this world that are just going to be temporary. So Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and understanding to realize that every day that when we get up of our in the morning, we realize I'm on another journey. Allah has given me another day in my life to prepare." And every day Allah Ta'ala shows us that how Allah will take away our life. Every night Allah Ta'ala puts us to sleep. Al-Nawmu Ukhtul Maut. Sleep is the sister and brother of death, that is to make us realize that now you are dead. You didn't know what's happening around you. So that is why our ulama explained that 1-2 minutes before you fall off to sleep, just cover your head with a blanket and let it be dark and think that now I'm now in the qabr alone. And now I'm going to be alone in the qabr. And now Munkar and Nakir is going to come. Interrogation. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a very strong, firm personality. Yet for him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Oh Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what's going to happen tomorrow when Malakul Maut comes to you, comes to extract your soul? Then you'll be laying on the bier. Then they'll be giving you ghusl and kafan. And then they're going to put you in that qabr. And then two very, very frightening interrogators of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Munkar and Nakir, that who look so scary when they talk like flames come out of their mouth. How are you going to see through that? How are you going to pass through that moment?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that, "O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be in our normal senses? That like how we are now?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, Allah will give you your normal senses back, and then you'll be asked the questions, Mar Rabbuk." So Hazrat Umar now said, "If that is the case, then inshallah I will able to see them through." Because they have held on to the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They realized that they have to leave this world one day. And they were preparing for that world. Allahu Akbar. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu, what preparation we can't imagine. When he became the Khalifa, he used to cry that Hazrat Abu Bakr now said, such a pattern. Where can we follow in that pattern? Where can we follow in that trend? So Allah Ta'ala give me, tawfiq, all of us to realize that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that how we should live in this world. That not just pass our life, just unmindfulness, but kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib, aw abiru sabil, wa udda nafsaka min ahli al-qubur. That live in this world, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib, like you are a stranger. That you not, this is not your eternal abode. That you are just passing by, a stranger. He doesn't get involved in all unnecessary idle things. He is worried, he is on his way. Or you already, now you are a stranger, in other words, you are in a transit lounge. And now you are not wasting, you are waiting, when is the announcement going to come? that just now they're going to call me, that it's now time to board your flight, etc. So I have to be ready. If I am engaged in all shopping, etc., and the announcement comes, and my flight is gone, I'll be in big problem. And there you will miss your flight. You might be able still to get another flight. Here, if you are living in a state of unmindfulness, then Allah Ta'ala says, Hatta, all of a sudden, Malakul Maut will come to you. And then you'll say, Qala Rabbi Zi'uni, Ya Allah, give me a chance, let me just, La'alli amalu salihan fima taraktu kalla. What I supposed to do, the good deeds I left behind, now I'll start doing good deeds. Now I'll start preparing and getting my bags packed. And now I'll start checking my passport, etc. Then Allah Ta'ala will say, Kalla, inna kalimatun wa qailwa. It's too late. All the time you said this. How many times notices we send over and over. How many janazas today we attend a janaza also. So beautifully we are taught that when we attend a janaza, we put the person in the cover, and many of us are already talking about something else, talking about business, or sadly today people talking about sports also in the Qabristan, etc. Little do we thinking, if we're not thinking that myself in that cover, why, how will I be handling the matter in the cover now? If we're not thinking of ourselves, at least the person himself, that think of him, that now Allah give him that firmness, Allah was sabit to bil qawli sabit. Let him say that good word of kalima tayyiba. And this will only come, as Azmuana Musa Sahib explained, not like a parrot like myself, that we just make zikr kalima on our tongue. When making zikr, we enjoy. We also we enjoy the zikr. But the real enjoyment of the zikr is after the zikr, how we lead our lives. That zikr must be part of our lives. That as Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an Kareem with regard to the zikr, Ala bi zikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. That only with zikr of Allah you'll get peace and contentment of the heart. You'll have a peaceful life. Well, I have explained so beautifully. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi says, Ya bi means fi zikrillah. Not what zikr of Allah as we understand. That what zikr of Allah, if I got a tasbih, then I'm getting an enjoyable life, it's okay. I'm reading astaghfirullah, but I can look at the woman also while I'm driving, or while in the shopping center, as long as I got a tasbih in my hand, I would zikr, I'll get peace and contentment. No. Fi zikrillah means kasamak fil ma, like a fish in the water. As long as that fish is soaked in the water, it's in its environment, it's swimming, it's enjoying itself. But just take out that fish from the water, how much you take out that fish, it becomes restless. So exactly the same, a believer, if you soaked in the zikr of Allah, that means zikr starts on the tongue, but that zikr has to penetrate the heart. That now every time, whatever a person is doing, a person must have this consciousness, is Allah Ta'ala happy with me? And we have to be making dua, that oh Allah, give me that type of life that you are happy with me. And let me live in that life that you are pleased with me, and give me, increase me in that life all the time. Allahu Akbar. As one of the du'as that are made so beautifully, now when people are making tawaf, etc. Allahumma zidna imanam bik. That oh Allah, every moment increase my iman in you. In other words, that your pleasure, let it increase all the time. Allahumma zidna imanam bik wa tasdeeqam bi kitabik, and that I accept and I totally believe firmly that my way of life is the Qur'an-i Kareem. I accept totally this is the true kitab of Allah. This is my constitution. This is my way of life. And wafaan bi'adik, and I fulfill my pledge. Every day we recite La ilaha illallah, and we have to renew this pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is our zikr. To renew our pledge. Today we know we have to renew our passport. Everybody is worried renewing their asylum papers and this papers and that papers. What we really have to renew every day, and not only every day, 5 times a day minimum, to renew our iman. That iman must be intact. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, a time will come in my ummah, to keep iman in your heart is like holding a burning coal in your hand. And we are going through this period, this time, all different types of fitnas you see. Great personalities are leaving the world. And if we don't hold firm onto the lifestyle of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what our firm conviction and what our heart, then we can get blown away with all the winds of fitna. So Allah Ta'ala save us. So we beg, one is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is to follow in that path of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep connection with the pious servants. So wafa'an bi'a bi'ahdik, that oh Allah, give me tawfiq to keep up my pledge with you, and I remain firm that there is nobody for me besides Allah Rabbul Izzat. And how will I do this? Wa ittiba'an li sunnati nabiyyina Muhammadin. Without on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is impossible to be able to fulfill the pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible to be following the Quran Kareem and realizing this is the true kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how beautifully the dua in the beginning, zidna imanam bik and ittiban li sunnati Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this has got the connection that your iman can only be intact if you followed the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you brought iman according to what iman was taught to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is also important, that every day we acknowledge that, oh Allah, I bring iman according to the iman that was taught to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So give us tawfiq to follow in that footstep and in that lifestyle. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us so beautifully that ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, that follow on the pattern of my way of life and the lifestyle of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And that will come down through the annals. That is, the Sahaba, they showed it to their followers, the Tabi'een and the Tabi Tabi'een. And without following the pious elders, and we just think that, no, I'm okay, I'm following my deen, then we won't be on the path of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's extremely important that we realize that we are on our journey, and we are on our journey to Akhirat. And that is why we find our deen, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala has made our system of our deen such that if we follow our deen according to our Islamic calendar, then our iman will be growing all the time. And every year, when you come towards the end of your year, that means you'll be reaching a climax every year. And if you check that is my climax, is my iman increasing, then it's not like in English they say every good thing comes to an end. No, in deen, the good things only increase all the time. It only increases. The more you increase your iman, the more you enjoy your salah, the more you enjoy your tilawat, the more you enjoy the company of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people who don't know what is good, that is, that also Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us that the time will come in my ummah that those things that are bad will be regarded as good, and those things that are good will be regarded as bad. That our fitrat, our nature will become so spoiled that filth and dirt, so sports, all these films, etc., people will think they are enjoying themselves. You're living in filth and dirt and you think you're enjoying yourself. And when it comes to an end, the match is over, you say, oh, now every... So good thing come to an end. There's no such. That is not the concept of deen. The concept of deen, Allahu Akbar. As Hazrat mentions in his beautiful poem also, Behre ulfat ka koi kinara nahi. When you get the love of Allah, you will see there's no shore. The enjoyment just increases all the time. So exactly the same. If a person, Allahu Akbar, you lead your life according to the Islamic calendar, and you see what Muharram, you make a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one is, oh Allah, this month of Muharram is a month of honor, respect, oh Allah, you gave me honor, you made me a human being. And how to love with honor? The other aspect of Muharram is, stay away from all those things that are haram. If you stay away from those things that are haram, you love with honor, you will love with respect, you will love with dignity. So you start your year with honor and respect. When your year starts with honor and respect, Allahu Akbar, by the time you come to the end of that year, what a high stage you'll reach. And on the other hand, Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib down the Rakatum, our Dada Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, his honorable illustrious son, explained so beautifully that don't be like those people who don't know the value of life. And they start their life according to the Western way of life, the Western calendar. That is January, And normally in Urdu, Gujarati, you pronounce January as Janwari. Janwar means like an animal. And we see, when the year starts, then they got a New Year party, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they don't... So if you start your year like a Janwar, by the time the end of the year comes, what will you be? You will be worse than a Janwar. Even an animal will feel shy, that is just an animal, or I am an animal. And Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ. That these are worse than animals, they're like animals, in fact worse than animals. So Allah Ta'ala saved me and all of us. So we should start our year with honor, respect, dignity. Then you get the month of Safar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds us, renew your iman. Check that evil, all wrong superstition, wrong things that didn't spoil your iman. So check your iman all the time. The month of Rabiul Awal comes, you think that great personality, Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, what a beautiful lifestyle to this world, and that is the way I have to, that nur that has come to the world, I have to hold on to that light, and with the firmness of iman, I have to stay away from those things that are haram, and then Allah will give me honor. And what Allah Akbar, as the year progresses, Allah gives you such honor, that Allah Ta'ala gives the great gift of Salah in the month of Rajab. Rajab comes with that great gift where it is mentioned. It's not a hadith, but the saying is absolutely correct, that a Salah to Mi'rajul Mu'min. That if a person learns how to perform his Salah, then his Salah will take him to the climax, that he will reach the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person will be looking forward to Salah. Salah will not be a burden for us. Before time, you eager, and you know, you worried, I mustn't miss my Salah. Then the enjoyment of Salah, Allahu Akbar, that's a different aspect on its own, Allahu Akbar. When you realize this, and you want to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you realize your weakness all the time, and you're making istighfar, tawbah. Allah ta'ala brings a special month of Shaban, and when Shaban comes, Allah says that, get prepared, that I'm going to give you an open invitation very soon to come and meet me, to come to my house. So Allah Ta'ala says, take your spiritual bath. You make istighfar, you make tawbah, you wash yourself as if you are going to get your day from nikah is coming. And then when you have taken your spiritual bath, Allah brings the beautiful month of Ramadan Sharif. When the month of Ramadan Sharif has come, Allah Ta'ala says, we have made the avenues open for you now to pack your bags, to get ready. And what you have to pack in your bags? Taqwa, la'allakum tattaqoon. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we learn, Mawlana Musa Sahib explained, that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that thing, that is something beyond all ibadat and everything else. And that is what we should be desiring, that I get that burning flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has penetrated the heart, then it doesn't mean now Ramadan Sharif is over, all the nice things are over, although the environment was so nice, so enjoyable. But immediately the month of Ramadan Sharif ends, a next season starts. Al-Hajj wa Shuru Ma'lumat, Allah's open announcement that come, you people have prepared your bags, you will have filled your bags with taqwa. Now come and meet Allah subhanahu. Come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why our pious servant, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, used to say, that the moment the moon of Eid is sighted, that people like myself, we think, hey, now Roza is over, we're going to have biryani and all the delicacies and all the different types of mitais. They are thinking of the spiritual enjoyment. That now it's another season. That suna hai kere tere dar pe tere aashiko ka hujum hone wale. Agar ijazat ho to maybe usme shamil ho. That oh Allah, now we heard that open invitation. People will be thronging at your threshold. A special vibrant at your Kaaba Sharif, which is all the time vibrant. But now the special season, the season of Hajj has started. That people are getting ready for Hajj. So a person who is a true believer, even if he is not maybe going physically, but his heart is already getting disconnected to Kaabatullah, connected to Medina Sharif, that people will be going to make ziyarat of Nabi Kareem Sawasam, getting the anwarat from Nabi Kareem Sawasam, then going to the Kaaba Sharif, going for Hajj, etc. So this Hajj journey has got two dimensions. One is the aspect of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're going out of love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, you're realizing that I'm on my journey to Akhirat. that now I'm going to customs, they're going to check my passport. When I come to Akhirat, they're going to, the first thing, my passport is going to be checked, my iman is going to be checked, etc. So this condition has to be, so we see, as you progress, the enjoyment of life is only increasing all the time. And now when you come to Kaaba Sharif, the enjoyment of tawaf is so much, now you want to meet Allah Rabbul Izzat. You just can't take it, your heart is bursting. Oh Allah, when can I meet you? Allah says, you want to meet me? For that you have to be ready to make qurbani. You have to be ready to give your life. Allahu Akbar. And you say, Ya Allah, I'm prepared to give my life. And agar jaan di to di hui usi kaati. Haq to ye hai ki haq ada hi nahi hui. And if you gain, where we can give our life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants to see that are we prepared to at least forgo our desires, our passion and desires. Not that now the Ramadan Sharif is over, now I'm a free man, now I can get back onto my laptop and watch all my movies and CDs and I can go back to my club and it's okay if I'm late for namaz, etc. Then that is a sign, myself I have to check, I'm talking to myself, we all have to check ourselves. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that a true believer in the masjid, when he walks into the masjid, he's like a fish in the water, just enjoying himself in the environment. He wants to be early, he wants to spend his time nicely, make his ibadat, everything. When he finishes, make his dua, everything, now he goes out, then also to do his other work which is necessary, etc. And a munafiq, a hypocrite in the masjid, is like a bird in the cage, a wild bird in the cage, just want to get out. So myself, all of us, we have to check and take stock of our lives every day and see that am I becoming like a fish in the water, enjoying myself in deen. And then a person will realize that what the zikr of Allah, that is the consciousness of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the beautiful poem our Dada Shaykh has taught us, we should always keep it in the front of our mind. Naqshe qadam Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke jannat ke raaste. That if we want to reach our eternal abode, Jannat, and that is also to meet Allah. The lovers of Allah want to go to Jannat, that is where they're going to meet Allah, that state of ecstasy. So that what is that road to Jannat? The sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this world already you'll start getting a taste. Allah Jalla Jalalu se milate sunnat ke raaste. That this road, the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give you that special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every day at least think, oh Allah, are you happy with me or not? Oh Allah, give me tawfiq to love that life that you are happy with me. And that is that life that is full of success. Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the real success. That is the great success. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and understanding that we come to the majalis with this eagerness that how we can get the true love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and we love our lives how Allah Ta'ala wants us to love, and daily we make istighfar, we make tawbah, and beg Allah Ta'ala to take us from this world in such a way that Allah is extremely happy with us.